Let's read together Zechariah chapter 10. In this chapter, we have predictions of both the coming Messiah and the return of Israel. Let's begin by reading the first five verses of this chapter. Zechariah chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the goatherds or male goats. For the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. Let's consider a few background notes now as we begin our study of Zechariah chapter 10. The prophet Zechariah comes relatively late in Old Testament history. He ministered to God's people, Israel, after their return from the Babylonian captivity. That's why he's known as a post-exilic prophet. In fact, we know from the records in Nehemiah chapter 12 that Zechariah was one of the captives who returned from Babylon. He was probably only a teenager when he returned. God raised up this man, Zechariah, as a prophet to encourage the people. Remember, the prophet's role in the Old Testament was to speak forth God's word. When God's word is spoken, it is both convicting and comforting. It is both exhorting and encouraging. The word of the Lord spoken through Zechariah was primarily encouraging. It was encouraging to God's people, Israel, because of Israel's bright future. With prophetic visions, messages, and burdens or oracles, God greatly encouraged his people Israel through the prophecy of Zechariah. Now, we as Christians can draw many spiritual lessons and applications from these chapters, even though they were directly addressed to Israel. After all, this is the Bible, God's Word. And Romans 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." But it is important to keep Israel and the church distinct when we interpret the Old Testament prophecies about Israel. These prophecies are not to be spiritualized away to the church. These prophecies will be literally fulfilled in reference to the Jewish people in the future. According to Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Israel has been only temporarily set aside during these present times of blessing on the church. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. In the future, Israel's spiritual blindness will be taken away, and she will return to the Lord, and these Old Testament prophecies will be literally fulfilled. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, Israel will be delivered from her enemies and dependent on her Messiah. Israel will be delivered from her enemies and dependent on her Messiah. Now, verse 1 of the chapter probably goes with the end of chapter 9, where we have the blessings of the millennium. Now, the main idea in the next four verses that we just read is that when the Messiah comes, Israel will be delivered from all her enemies, including demonic powers, verse 2, false shepherds and leaders, verse 3, and foreign powers, verse 5. At the present time, there is no idolatry in Israel as there was in ancient Israel. In fact, Israel's captivity in Babylon cleansed them of any worshiping of the sun and moon and idols of wood and stone. But the New Testament makes quite clear that Israel will return to idolatry in the future. That is, during the time of the tribulation, before the Lord returns to this earth to set up his kingdom, There will be, once again, idolatry in the nation Israel. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in his Olivet Discourse that during this tribulation period, the Antichrist of those days will set up an image in the temple called, quote, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Matthew 24, verse 15. And the book of Revelation makes it quite clear that this image will be worshipped by Jews and Gentiles, Revelation chapter 13. So we believe that the idolatry referred to here in verse 2 is primarily referring to the idolatry that will return to Israel in the last days. And the false shepherds and male goats, or false leaders of verse 3, refer primarily to the false prophets and false shepherds of the end time, operating under the false Messiah or the Antichrist of those days. And we know that during those days, according to Zechariah 12, verse 3, all nations will be gathered together against Israel for war. But now comes the good news. The Lord of hosts will visit his flock, verse 3. And we will see from the rest of the chapter that during those last days, and they may not be that far off, there will be a spiritual restoration of the nation Israel. We mentioned this in our background notes. Many in Israel will believe in the Messiah who was once rejected. And then the Lord will return and lead his redeemed people in victory over all evil and enemy forces, including occult powers, including the enemy armies, including the Antichrist. So the victories then of verse 5 here go beyond any victories of the Maccabees that we saw in chapter 9. These victories were only foreshadowing. They only anticipated the victories that will take place when the Lord returns. Now notice in verse 4 the titles that are given to our Lord as Messiah. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. As the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus is central and everything rests on him. In reference to the tent peg, the idea is not like the tent peg of today, staking out the tent or holding up the tent, but rather a large peg or pin in an oriental tent where all the valuables of the family were hung. On the Messiah, as the tent peg, will hang all hope and blessing. As the battle bow, the Messiah will lead his people in military victory when he returns. And as the supreme ruler, all will be subject to him and all opposition eliminated. What a great day that will be. Israel will be delivered from her enemies and dependent on her Messiah. Doctrinal point number 2. Israel will be regathered to the land and restored to the Lord. Israel will be regathered to the land and restored to the Lord. Verses 6 through 12. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Now, these verses certainly cannot refer to Israel's return from their Babylonian captivity, because this prophecy is post-exilic. Israel had already returned from Babylon when Zechariah wrote this. And we certainly don't want to practice bad hermeneutics here, and spiritualize all of this to the church and say it doesn't apply to Israel anymore. Because after all, Israel broke the covenant with God. Hey, Israel had already broken the covenant. That's why they went into captivity. Listen, the promises here to the Jewish people are still valid today. Israel will be regathered to the land and restored to the Lord. Notice how all of Israel is in view in verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. The house of Joseph was the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, called the house of Joseph because Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were the largest tribes of the north. So all of Israel, you see here, is in view. Like a shepherd, the Lord will whistle for his flock. Verse 8, and the Jews will return from the far countries of this world. Verse 9, as you know, already the Jews are returning to the land of Palestine, but there's much more to come. Look at the end of verse 10. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. The borders of Israel will be enlarged in the future and include the land of Lebanon to the north and Gilead to the east, where Jordan is today. This will not be done by the secular state of Israel. No, the Lord himself will remove all obstacles and barriers. Verse 11, he shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. Whether it be natural barriers, like when they crossed the Red Sea, or enemy powers, like their ancient arch enemies, Egypt and Assyria, nothing will stop the regathering of Israel. And the best part of all of this is their restoration to the Lord. Verse 12, so I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. What a great prophecy. The return of the Jews to Israel today is now in unbelief. In the future, it will be in faith. Israel will be regathered to the land and restored to the Lord. Practical application. Have you responded to God's whistle? Have you responded to God's whistle? Verse 8, once again, I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them. In the context, as we've seen, this is God's whistle or call for the return of Israel to the land and to the Lord. But it certainly has application for everyone here this morning. Have you responded to God's whistle? God is calling you to come to him and receive his free gift of salvation in Christ, or come back to him if you're wandering as a backslidden believer. God is whistling for you to come home. Why delay? You know, when our kids were small, I used to whistle for them many times to come home at supper time. Now, this was family time. Well, it's the same idea as the shepherd whistling for his sheep. The good shepherd, the Lord himself, is whistling right now for lost and wandering sheep to come home. Are you one of those lost or wandering sheep? Listen, God is whistling. Have you responded to God's whistle?